NBC presents Short Story. Tonight, F. Scott Fitzgerald. He gave a label to an age, the jazz age, he called it. He wrote of cocktail parties and shattered nerves and the very rich. New York was his lost city and Hollywood the last home he found. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Tonight, one of his best short stories, Crazy Sunday, which will begin immediately following this brief announcement from the United States Marine Corps. Men of the United States Marine Corps are often asked the question, what is it that makes Marines different? The answer is, invariably, it's the Marine training. Down through the years, the men responsible for training Marines have followed the simple philosophy that in order for a man to perform his duties well, he must understand the other man's job. Out of this understanding, smoothness and efficiency of operation result. When the new Marine enters the Corps, he is given intensive basic training. Because the Corps is a small, compact organization, men must be able to perform more than one type of duty. Therefore, a Marine is trained to perform many. This versatility and efficiency, coupled with the famous Marine esprit de corps, makes the United States Marine Corps what it is today, one of the finest military organizations in the world. Here now, Crazy Sunday by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Sunday in Hollywood. Not a day, rather a gap between two other days. Behind lay sets and sequences, long waits under the crane that swung the microphone. The struggle of rival ingenuities in the conference room, the ceaseless compromise, the strain of many personalities fighting for their lives. And now, Sunday, with individual life starting up again, with a feeling of hurry, it's not too late, but for Pete's sake, hurry, before the blessed 40 hours of leisure are over. Hello.
My car's broken. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Nat. Probably sounds a little fancy, but I've been invited out to the Miles Kalmans.
Yeah?
Yeah, right out of the top drawer, kid.
Yeah, only two writers have been invited, you and me. That's where I wanted you to drive me.
Oh, well, sure, Nat, you bet. Pick you up about 2:30. So you drive out sunset, past the Strip, past the field where they grow poinsettias at Christmas, past the Beverly Hills Hotel. You turn right up Benedict Canyon and farther up Holly Hill Road, and the fresh wind that blows in your face is made of cool green leaves and cool green cash. You're on your way to a party at Miles Kalmans. And if you're Joel Coles, a young writer with your way to make in this town, you step on the gas.
What's your in with the Kalmans, Joel boy?
I'm working with Miles.
Like that, he says it.
Why, sure, they put me on the O'Neill thing.
Son, when you grow up a little around this town, you'll learn that one says, I'm working for Miles or under Miles, not with Miles. Miles works with nobody and for nobody. He's the only man in Hollywood can make that statement.
He's the only man in Hollywood can make those pictures.
You know the lovely Stella, I take it?
Knew her in New York before she married Miles.
And you know the lovely Eva Goebel?
I know of her. Why?
Oh, nothing.
All right, what do you mean, do I know Eva Goebel?
You'll find out before the afternoon's gone, kid. At least I think you will.
And there was Miles's house. Nothing but vistas, as somebody once said. A house built for great emotional moments, as somebody else once said. Soon in a far corner of a garden, I came face to face with Stella. Stella Kalman. Strands of red gold hair and strands of pale gold that couldn't be dyed. And no makeup. She was that good looking.
I saw you come in, Joel.
I didn't see you.
I was in an upstairs window.
Ah. Nice to be asked here.
Miles told me he was bringing you out from the East. He almost didn't when I said I knew you.
Oh?
A cocktail, sir?
What do you want, Joe?
Nothing, thank you.
You're not drinking?
Mm-mm.
Miles is always looking for the one writer who doesn't drink.
Oh, I know.
You'll go far out here, Joe.
Oh, Stella, you look about 16. Where's your kitty car?
You'll go very far, Joe. Come on inside. Do have a drink. Miles is in another wing.
Everybody's afraid out here, aren't they? Everybody watches for everybody else's blunders, though. Tries to make sure they're with people who'll do them credit. Oh, I don't mean in your house, of course. Hollywood generally.
I suppose that's true.
How's your little boy?
Wonderful. 3 months old today.
Well, you have to watch your step now.
I do.
After a pretty woman has her first child, she's very vulnerable. Wants to be reassured about her own charm. She's got to have some new man's unqualified devotion so that she knows she hasn't lost anything.
You read that someplace.
Ah.
Anyway, I never have anybody's unqualified devotion.
They're afraid of Miles.
You think so?
Sure. They don't understand him. I work with him every day, and sometimes I don't. A director who stands on his own feet, takes nothing from anybody, who's never made a cheap picture.
But some pretty expensive failures.
He's the greatest man in this town, Stella. There's nobody like him.
I know there's nobody like him. Come and see some people. I want you to meet my friend Eva Gobel, and Dietrich's here.
Is anybody who is anybody not here? I met the famous, and I lost Stella, wandered around talking to people, drinking some more, looking at the party. It was good in this town, if there were ever time to enjoy it. The lovely girls and, well, the lovely girls. I listened to the voices of Hollywood.
Hey, Joe, what's with Miles?
How should I know?
He's not happy this afternoon.
What's the matter?
I asked you. He's moping in a dark corner.
Well, I think I'll look him up.
Interest me, you know, how a man whose instincts are so unerring about everything in the studio can be so hopelessly muddled in his personal life.
What kind of a fix have you got on Miles, Nat?
Just interest me, that's all. Suppose I'm jealous.
Miles?
Hmm? Oh, come in, Joe. Huh.
Haven't had a chance to thank you for the invitation.
Nice to see you. Sorry I missed you at the office yesterday. I spent the afternoon with the analysts.
You're being analyzed?
For months. First, I went for claustrophobia. Now I'm trying to get my whole life cleared up. Says it will take a year.
There's nothing the matter with your life.
No? Stella seems to think so. Ask anybody. They can tell you all about it.
Oh, I don't go in for it, Miles.
Good. Enjoying the party? Meeting the people you want to meet?
Mm-hmm. Stella's been very helpful.
She likes you. Have you met Eva Gobel?
Not today.
Oh. Guess she didn't come.
Her name was mentioned, though.
Yeah? Do something for me, Joel. Don't bring her name up to Stella.
Oh, I wouldn't.
There's been a bad time about that. Well, I suppose I should talk to some people. Hate them all today. Wish it were Monday.
Having a good time.
Wonderful, Stella, wonderful. Let's go somewhere and be serious, huh?
I see you forgot your resolution about cocktails.
One too many, I think.
Let's not be serious. I want to be entertained. What can you do? Can you do card tricks? Juggle?
As a matter of fact, I have a little act.
You haven't?
Have? Wrote it myself. Very witty.
Really? Will you do it?
Certainly. Just because the last entertainer on your bill was the greatest comic in pictures means nothing to me. Make way for the amateur hour.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, this could be a very great mistake.
Do you need anything?
Someone has to be the secretary I'm supposed to be dictating to.
I'll be the secretary. Everybody, listen, everybody. Mr. Joel Coles is going to entertain us with a... What would you call it, Joel?
It's a monologue.
With a monologue. I'll sit here, Joel. Go ahead.
Building it up. It's an impression of a certain independent producer dictating a storyline to his secretary. We got here a brilliant story of divorce, the younger generators, and the foreign legion. It's terrific. It's absolutely super colossal. Couldn't be better, but we got to build it up, you see. The hero is this young fellow. He's run away to Africa at the age of 12. He's pulled himself up by his bootstraps. We could make him a Manju type. Then we get a sort of a Michael Allen with a safari atmosphere, you see. And then, you see, he meets this tomato, you see. And pretty soon she feels this kind of a sex appeal for him. I got through it. And Stella never faltered. There were two snickers. And all those faces looking at me. Just looking. I never knew before how much professionals can hate amateurs. I got out as best I could and rode home, writhing in self-disgust, and ate no supper. And the next day, thank heaven, was Monday.
Joel? Hey, Joel.
Oh, hello, Nat.
On your way to the commissary? I haven't any lunch.
No, I don't go there anymore.
What are you slinking around about?
Oh, after that show I put on at Miles Kelman's, if I never have to look at anybody again, I'll be happy.
Go on, it wasn't that bad. I laughed twice.
I wrote Miles a note this morning apologizing what he and Stella must think of me now.
Forget it. They're too busy thinking of each other.
Who booed? I was afraid to look.
Who else? The great lover of the screen. Manners like a goat.
I don't blame him. Anyway, I'm in permanent retirement.
Oh, cut it out. What do you care if that three-piece suit did boo? Don't you know about that guy?
Hmm?
The night of one of his premieres at Grauman's, my pal Squires kicked his tail while he was bawling to the crowd.
Oh, no.
The ham said Squires would hear from him. Next morning, 8 o'clock, Squires called him up and said, I thought I was going to hear from you.
Huh?
The great lover hung up.
Thanks for the cheer, but I've still made my last social appearance in Hollywood.
And I meant it, until I got a wire from Stella Kalman inviting me to a party at her sister's house the following Sunday. Miles was there, tall, nervous, with the unhappiest eyes I had ever seen, talking desperately by the fireplace with a fading actress. Stella found me at the doorway.
Joel.
Oh, dear girl, thank you.
Oh, Joel, sit over here and talk to me.
I want to thank you for that lovely telegram of forgiveness. It was darn sweet. I never thought anyone as beautiful as you could be good-humored.
Good-humored? Oh, Joel, I'm so miserable. Everything's fallen to pieces, everything.
What are you talking about, Stella?
2 years. Miles has been carrying on this thing for 2 years. I never knew. Why, Eva Goebel was one of my best friends, always in the house.
Oh.
Finally, people began to come to me. Miles had to admit it. You know, Joel, like in the bee pictures.
Wife is the last to know, huh? Well, what do you want me to say, Stella?
Oh, I was thinking of his wife. That old cow.
Better lower it, Biffy.
Look at him. Look at him over there. He's got another girl hanging over him this minute. I can't watch him. I won't. Come on, Joel, please. Let's find a quiet room where we can talk. And all the time he was telling me how much he loved me. He's a fraud, Joel. He's nothing but a fraud. I don't know how I can go on with it.
Oh, here you are.
Miles, I'm talking to Joel, if you don't mind.
Hold it, Stella.
Stella, there's no use trying to explain something to Joel in half an hour that I don't understand myself and the analyst says will take a year to understand.
Listen, Joel, I love Miles. I've been faithful to him always, but he...
Stella, the analyst says...
The analyst says that Miles had a mother complex. When we got married, he transferred his mother complex to me. Now he's in love with this other woman. And yet, if I were even to look at anybody else, when I was in New York the last time, I wrote him I'd been to the theater with a man I used to know. Miles was so jealous, he phoned me 10 times in one day.
I was wild. Analysts couldn't get any results for a week.
Well, did you expect me to sit in the hotel for 3 weeks?
I don't expect anything. I admit I'm jealous. I try not to be. A while ago, you sat on the arm of Joel's chair and I was jealous.
Pretend I'm not here.
Jealous?
Huh?
You were. You were. Well, wasn't there someone on the arm of your chair? And when I think that woman used to come into my house...
All right, all right. I've admitted everything, and I feel as bad about it as you do. Joel, I wish you'd look at some tests with me tomorrow. They've got some girl I've told them is wrong for the part, and they're trying to shove her down my throat.
They treat Miles terribly, Joel, just terribly. Darling, tell him about old Belzer, trying to switch pictures on you.
Now she was hovering protectively over Miles, those wonderful eyes of hers flashing indignation on his behalf. And right there I realized I was in love with her. I got up and said goodnight. Hello.
Joel, this is Stella.
Hello, Stella. Things any better?
Not particularly. What are you doing next Saturday night?
Nothing.
The Perrys are giving a theater party. Miles won't be here. He's flying to South Bend for the football game, and I thought you might go with me in his place.
Oh, surely I'd like to go, Stella.
Good. Then I'll say we can come.
Now what? Miles, I hear you're flying to the Notre Dame game.
No, I'm not, Joe. I've given up the idea.
Oh, why?
On account of you.
Why, Miles?
That's why I've given it up. I can't tell what Stella might do, just out of spite. She's invited you to take her to the Perry's party, hasn't she? I wouldn't enjoy the game.
Look, Miles, I've never made any passes whatsoever at Stella. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And if you're really seriously canceling your trip on account of me, I won't take her to the party. I won't see her at all while you're away. You can trust me absolutely.
Maybe I can. Anyhow, there'd just be somebody else. I wouldn't have any fun.
Don't seem to have much confidence in Stella. She says she's always been true to you.
Maybe she has. But you see, I've influenced Stella in everything. She likes everything I like, including the men I like. You. It's very difficult.
It must be.
Anyway, how can I ask anything ever after what's happened? And I'll tell you one thing, right or wrong, no matter what I've done. If I ever had anything on her, I'd divorce her. I won't have my pride hurt. That would be the last straw.
Well, of course, there's her pride. Has she calmed down about the Eva Goebel thing?
No. I can't get over it either.
I thought it was finished.
Oh, I'm trying not to see Eva again, but, you know, it isn't easy just to drop something like that. This isn't some girl I kissed last night in a taxi. The psychoanalyst...
Yeah, right? I've heard what the psychoanalyst says. Look, Miles, as far as I'm concerned, if you go to the game, I won't see Stella. And I'm sure Stella has nothing on her conscience about anybody.
Maybe you're right. Anyhow, I'll stay and take her to the party. And listen, Joel, I want you to come, too. Sometimes I have to have somebody sympathetic to talk to.
That Saturday evening, I was tied up in a conference and couldn't get to the dinner, so I waited for Stella and her party later in front of the theater. Watched the eternal, fantastic evening parade go past on the street. Anything may walk down the street in Hollywood, and usually it does. And then from a limousine at the curb, a pale blue dress like ice water and icicles trickling at the throat.
Here we are, Joe. Been waiting long?
No. Well, where's Miles, Stella?
He flew to the game, after all.
He what?
He left yesterday morning. At least, I think. I just got a telegram from South Bend saying he's starting back tonight. Oh, excuse me. Do you know these people?
Oh, yes. Hi, everybody. Sorry I couldn't make dinner. Come on, let's go in. Huh?
I didn't get a light, Joel.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Only one more act. It's a terrible play, isn't it?
I don't know. I've been looking at you in that dress.
Perry's and the Everybody's are going to the opening of that new nightclub. I don't want to go, do you?
We don't have to.
I suppose not. I'd like to talk to you. We could go to my house. If I were only sure.
Sure of what?
Sure that... I'm haywire, I guess. But how can I be sure Miles went to that football game?
Went to the football... Oh, you mean you think he's with Eva Goebel?
Oh, no, not so much that. Supposing he was here, watching everything I do.
Well, what put that into your head?
I don't know. Miles does funny things. Once he wanted a man with a long beard to drink tea with him, and he sent down to Central Casting for one and drank tea with him all afternoon.
That's hardly the same thing. Anyway, he sent you a wire from South Bend that proves he was at the game.
He could arrange to have the wire sent very easily.
You really think you'd do a thing like that? No, I won't believe it, Stella. It's nonsense. Oh, come on. Curtain's going up.
Joel and I are going to say goodnight now.
Oh, aren't you coming with us?
No, taking the lady off for a tete-a-tete. Tough luck, boys.
Watch that cold. He's a sly one. Have fun, you two.
What are you looking at?
I don't know. After what you said before, I think maybe I'm expecting Miles to come out of the bushes.
Good evening, Mrs. Carman.
Good evening, Frederick. Come on in, Joel.
There's another telegram, Mrs. Carman.
Thank you. Home tomorrow, thinking of you. Love, Miles. Don't you see, Joel? He could be faking me so easily.
Better cut that out.
I suppose. Put some sandwiches and drinks in the breakfast room, will you, Frederick? And then that will be all.
Yes, Mrs. Kelman.
Come on in here, Joe. Oh, I'm so tired. I wish I could stop thinking about everything.
I know how you feel.
Sit down.
This piano. There. Here's where I stood 2 weeks ago, made such a jackass out of myself. We got here a brilliant story of divorce, the younger generators, and the foreign lead. Stella? That wire you sent asking me to your sister's house. Did Miles tell you to send it? I mean, just to cheer me up.
What are you talking about?
I have a strange feeling that I'm sort of a pawn in a spite game you're playing with Miles.
We'd better go into the kitchen and get that drink.
Odd part of it is that I'm in love with you anyhow.
Excuse me.
Did you hear what I said?
Hello. Speaking. Read it, please.
It's terrific. It's absolutely super colossal. Couldn't be better, but we got to build it up, you see?
Thank you. Another wire for Miles. He dropped it, or says he dropped it, from a plane at Kansas City.
And I suppose he asked to be remembered to me?
No. Just said he loved me. I believe he does. Oh, he's so very weak.
Sit beside me. I love you, Stella.
Please.
Beautiful Stella.
I know about that.
I'm sure you do. You're wearing makeup tonight.
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you don't. Stella.
Oh, no, Joel, please, I...
You didn't mind that?
I didn't want that.
Why'd you ask me out here?
I'm sorry.
Meaning you're not even curious about me?
You attract me a lot. You know it. Point is, I suppose I really do love Miles.
Obviously.
Anyway, tonight I feel uneasy about everything.
Well, it's midnight. I've got to go off. I'll phone a taxi.
Oh, nonsense. There's a chauffeur on duty.
It's Sunday again, Stella.
Yes. Excuse me. I guess that's another wire for Miles. Hello? Speaking.
The hero is this young fellow's runaway to Africa at the age of 12. He's pulled himself up by his...
No!
Stella! Stella!
The plane fell just this side of Kansas City. The body of Miles Kelman has been identified, and the authorities request that...
Lie still, Stella.
What's happened? Call them back. What's happened?
What's your doctor's name, Stella?
Miles.
No, now lie quiet. Any of the servants there?
Hold me, I'm frightened.
I want the name of your doctor,
this
Stella.
Doctor. Is Miles dead? He isn't. I know he isn't.
Stella.
This is part of his scheme. He's torturing me. I know he's alive. I can feel him.
Look,
alive.
I want to get hold of some close friend of yours, Stella. You can't stay here alone tonight.
No, I can't see anybody. You stay.
What?
I haven't got any friend. Miles is my only friend. He's not dead. He can't be dead. I'm going there right away and see. Get a train. You come with
Look,
me.
Look, there's nothing to do tonight. I want you to tell me the name of some woman I can call Lois Jones.
Viva was my best friend.
Well, tell me somebody.
I hear somebody. Miles? Is that you, Miles? It's Miles!
I heard you cry out, Mrs. Kelman. Is there anything I can do?
Oh, yes. Look, has Mrs. Kelman got an address book with her friend's phone numbers?
I believe so, sir.
Go and find it, will you, fast?
Very good, sir.
Joel, you stay here, Joel. You won't go away. Miles, he liked you. He said, Joel! Joel! You don't know how alone I feel. Put your arms around me.
Oh, Stella.
Miles has a suit like you're wearing. Oh, Joel! Think of what he must have felt. He was afraid of everything. Joel, you won't go. No. You like me. You love me, don't you, Joel? Don't phone anybody. Tomorrow's time enough, Joel. You stay with me tonight, Joel, please.
He would still be dead, Stella. Where's that butler with those phone numbers?
Don't call anybody. Keep your arms around me, Joel. I can count on you, can't I? Miles liked you. He was jealous of you.
If I were to betray Miles, you'd be keeping him alive, huh? Man can't be betrayed if he's dead.
You stay.
We'll get someone to stay with you, Stella. I'll be back later if you need me. I got hold of a doctor and some other people, and when they started arriving, I left. It was Sunday. 2,000 miles away, it was also a Sunday. And Miles Kelman was dead in it. You could feel a hole in this wilderness already. Back down Benedict Canyon. Back down Sunset. Past the field where they grow poinsettias at Christmas time. Everything he touched, he did something magical to. Of her, he made a masterpiece. I'll be back. Oh, yes, Stella. I'll be back.
You have heard Crazy Sunday by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The third broadcast in a new dramatic series, NBC Presents Short Story. The adaptation was by Clarice A. Ross. In tonight's cast, Joel was played by Larry Dobkin. Nat by Gilbert Fry. Stella by Lynn Whitney. Miles, John Stevenson. The butler, Raymond Lawrence. Your announcer, John Wall. The director of NBC Presents Short Story is Andrew C. Love. Next week, one of the most startling short stories of the past decade, The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. Hear it next week. And in the meantime, bear in mind this message from the United States Marine Corps. During his basic training period, each Marine takes a series of scientific tests to determine what kinds of work he is best suited to do. To develop further his specialties and technical skills, the Corps maintains specialized training schools. The basic mission of the Marine Corps calls for service on land, on sea, and in the air. For example, the Corps operates a school for seagoing Marines. Because approximately 1 out of 7 Marines is assigned to Marine Aviation, Marines learn the trade skills necessary to operate and maintain fighter aircraft, transport planes, and helicopters. Marines in the ground forces learn electronics, communications, engineering, motor transport, and hundreds of other specialties. This training never ceases, for as the Marine advances in rank, there are more specialized schools he may attend to become more skilled, more efficient, and a better Marine. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.